Welcome back to the Meet St. Louis podcast, the show taking you behind the scenes of your favorite restaurants, breweries, and small businesses. I'm your host, Alexis Zotos with KMOV. About 1 hour outside of St. Louis, you can transport yourself to a lavender-scented oasis. Located in Wright City is Long Row Lavender. Tracy Smith and her family started the farm more than a decade ago as a way to connect with nature. But over the years, not only has the lavender grown, but so has the business. Right now, it is peak lavender season, with those purple blooms shooting out of the ground. And Tracy joined us to talk about growing the non-native plant here in the Midwest, how they incorporate it in everything from the lattes and the cookies at their cafe to the bath and body products in their shop. You can see how the whole process is done right there on the farm. And don't worry, even after lavender season ends, there's new things popping up. From zinnias to sunflowers, something is always blooming, as is the Smith's family desire to create a destination for families. So let's meet Tracy. Thanks for joining us on the podcast this week.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You guys are right in the smack dab of the busiest season, and that's because the lavender is blooming.
It is. So really, folks can expect the bloom to last the first and second week of June. So we are in its prime.
Tell me about the Lavender Farm, how you guys decided to open it and how this dream became a reality.
It actually started with we had this desire for our children to be outside. We had 15 acres of land, and we were working about an acre of it, of a meadow. And we thought, oh, we wanted the kids to be with us. We wanted them to learn how to grow something. And we found out that lavender is deer resistant. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, this is actually perfect for us because we live right in the woods and the deer are really prolific. And so we decided, let's put some lavender in the ground, see if we can get it to grow. And that's really how it began. So very simply. And then it was a hobby. We would go to the farmer's market every once in a while. People loved the lavender. And as our children grew, and as we became more knowledgeable about the plant and how you could make value-added products, mm-hmm. we decided, you know what, it's time to let folks come to the farm. And so in 2015, we built a post and beam barn with a gift shop, and we opened to the public. And that's really how it all started.
So when you were first starting to grow it, was there a learning curve at all? Did you, what was that first season like?
Yeah, so we actually put 20 plants in the ground Memorial Day weekend of 2009. And then by Labor Day, they had quadrupled in size. And we thought, oh, this is going to be wonderful. So we went ahead and put 250 more plants in the ground Labor Day weekend and then experienced the winter and lost them all.
Oh,
and
no. So
that was the beginning of our learning curve. So we were like, oh my goodness, this is more difficult than it appears because lavender is not native mm-hmm. to Missouri. So we had to kind of step back and do some research, and we went to a lavender conference, which is to try to gather knowledge. Anytime we went on vacation as a family, we would try to find a lavender farm near us. And then we would talk to the farmers.
There are.
I mean, believe it or not, they're kind of dotted all over the United States. But they're not going to be super well known. You're not going to see a billboard. They're going to be small farms like ours, mm-hmm. small business owners. And so we would go and ask questions and say, hey, we want to grow a lavender farm. And what have you done? And how did you get started? We would ask all the questions you're kind of asking me. Mm-hmm. And we would just glean knowledge. And it's really been a labor of love. It's not real hard to put the plants in the ground. It's not real difficult to purchase new plants. And so we began building on what we were planting, learning as we went along. Mm-hmm. Even this past winter season was our first season of actually covering the rows with a frost blanket. And that ended up being a game changer for us. And so we're still learning as we go.
And so you decided, okay, we're going to allow people to come visit. What was that like? What were those decisions like? And how did you figure out, okay, how do we turn this into something more than just a love that we have for our small farm?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we actually went to dinner, my husband and I, and it was an hour long wait at the restaurant. And we sat down together and we hashed out, what would it look like to have people come to the farm? And how do we get them there? Can our family handle it? You know, we just kind of did best case, worst case scenario in our mind. Mm-hmm. And what the public was saying, we were going to the farmer's market for a few years. Mm-hmm. And the public was already asking, can we come see the lavender? Can we come to your farm? So we knew that this was really a natural transition to have folks actually come see the plant. And we were already beginning to make value-added products that, you know, needed climate control. So a farmer's market wasn't the best place for them. You know, it can rain, it can be 100 degrees. And so we thought, you know, it's
all in one week, it could do all those things.
Yes, yes, all in one market.
Right? Yeah, true.
So it was time. You know, the public was telling us, hey, we want to come see your farm. And we were, based on other lavender farms that we had visited, we were only scratching the surface of what we could offer the public. And we still feel that way now. And our product line has increased. But we still feel like, wow, there's so much that you can do with this herb. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we just listened to the public and we thought, hey, can our family handle this? And we took the risk and built the building.
And it's a beautiful building. It is so beautiful out there. It is just this sort of little oasis. You drive down that road. People might, if they don't know they're coming upon it, it's almost like this, wow, look what we've just stumbled upon.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
Do you guys, and so what has it been like to be open to the public? How have you brought customers in? And you've got a cafe and the shop. Talk to us about some of the things that people can find when they come visit.
Sure. So, you know, just like the first part, the beginning of the farm evolved into a gift shop. Well, then it evolved into a cafe. And that really came, we were open for 3 years. And folks were visiting from St. Louis and they were asking us, hey, where can we go eat? Mm. And our little small town has a Subway at that time. There's more now, but we had a Subway and a McDonald's and a gas station. And folks were not really wanting to leave the farm. They wanted us to provide food. And so that was a natural evolution for us to add the cafe. And honestly, that really transformed the business. So folks now we're trying to make it a destination place where people can just ride down the road and stop off and think, wow, this is an oasis. I'm going to spend the next couple of hours here just getting re-energized and enjoying the beauty of the landscape, having a really nice coffee, a nice lavender lemonade. Right. And this year we have created trails through the woods so people can bring their dogs, they can hike. You know, they're very rough right this second because we're still in process. So you really do need tennis shoes or hiking boots. You can't do this in sandals.
Good to know.
This is not a park, but it is a trail that folks can enjoy and see nature. So
was it another big learning curve opening that cafe? I mean, was that, I imagine that wasn't something that was on the original plan. So what was that like to open it and how do you incorporate the lavender that you grow into that cafe?
Oh my goodness. A resounding yes. Huge learning curve opening a cafe. So I just, you know, a learning curve just hiring people.
Yeah.
For the first time, just the interview process and trying to get someone to capture your dream and run with it for you. And so yes, the cafe was a learning curve. And honestly, it took us a full year to figure out how do we source food well and work with people who are local? How do we do this even without running to Sam's and Aldi every 5 seconds? Mm-hmm. And so that took us a year to kind of troubleshoot through that. And so, yeah, that was quite the learning curve. And then as far as incorporating the lavender into food, that was pretty natural. We were already giving, like when folks would come and see me when it was just the gift shop, mm-hmm. I was always making lavender chocolate chip cookies because people don't realize you can eat the herb, and I wanted them to be able to try it. And so we were already naturally transitioning to food. And then we wanted it to be a small menu mm-hmm. so that we could use fresh ingredients. Sure. So we knew that. So that dictated what we offered. And then we wanted to be able to do things with excellence. And so we stepped in very slowly. We stepped in with coffee, tea, lavender lemonade, and desserts. That is it. And then summer hit and we're like, okay, we're going to offer 3 sandwiches. That is it. Mm-hmm. And so as we perfected that, we began to offer more. And so the menu has grown. We're pretty happy with it right now, but the menu has grown as we've grown and as we've learned mm-hmm. and as we've excelled in an area, then we're like, okay, maybe we can handle one more piece. And then we step that, we take that step.
Yeah. It seems like sort of each year you find that confidence to say, okay, this is what our customers are looking for. This is what they're asking for. We think we can take that next step.
Yeah, that is really kind of, that's a great way to word that, to find the confidence, because that is exactly what it is of, okay, do we have the confidence to move forward? So yes.
What has been the biggest joy you've found over these last several years of growing this dream?
Well, there's a couple of things. There's some challenges mm-hmm. that bring about change in your own personality that you're like, oh, that's a good outcome. I didn't know I needed to kind of work on that area. Mm-hmm. And a job kind of pulls it out of you. And you're like, oh, so that's fun to see. It's fun to see our family change and transition and grow up, having grown Lavender and grown this business together. Sure. And then it is a huge joy for people to come out to the farm and be so happy. It's hard because, you know, as the owner, my husband and I walk around going, oh, we have got to get this done. And oh my goodness, this is a mess. And we're our biggest critic, but folks will come out and they're just so happy. And that's the greatest joy.
Sure. I bet. I imagine just seeing those faces light up as they, you know, pull into the farm and see this thing that, you know, again, as you mentioned, lavender is not a native plant to Missouri, but it's just one that so many people love. And whether it's the scent or the taste or just the look of the fields of lavender.
Yes. And then the products, the great products mm-hmm. that you can derive from the essential oil. And I have to say, I had a customer this last Saturday walk up to me and she's like, are you the owner? And I said, yes. And so we started a conversation and she's like, you know, I have to tell you, that young lady in there at the gift shop, what is her name? I think it was Ella. She goes, she is so nice and very engaging. Aww. And you should really keep her. And I told her, I'm going to keep her. She's my youngest. And it was so fun to be able to go, wow, a total stranger. She doesn't know she's my daughter. Mm-hmm. To walk up, you know, to a mom's heart, you're like, oh my goodness.
Right.
How sweet to hear something so good about your child and they don't even know you're related.
Right.
So those are the real joys that come. Yeah.
And talk to us about those products. You obviously have all this lavender. Talk about how you put it into the products, what products you guys have, and how you learn to create those.
Yeah. So when we were going back to our farmer's market days, I was selling initially just the dried buds and mm-hmm. sachets, or I'd make reeds. And my husband said, babe, you're going to have to make a product that's consumable that people will return to purchase. And so I began to do research. I began to learn, you know, how do you make a lip balm? How do you make a lotion bar? How do you make body butter? How do you make linen spray? How do you make bug spray? I just began searching that out and formulating recipes for myself and trying them out on my friends and my family and giving them as Christmas gifts. And then we, you know, that whole process of, okay, I'm not going to make any more products until I get a brand. Mm-hmm. And so we went that through that whole process of branding our farm. And then once you have a brand and you have a basic knowledge of how to make bath and body products, we could begin to expand. And it's so versatile. You can use the lavender dried. You can distill the plant for its essential oil. And then use the hydrosol that comes from the distillation process to make linen spray and bug spray and any water-based product that you would be making. So it's just a lot of research. And still yet, even now, I'm like working on 4 new products this year just to give the public a little bit more of what can be used with lavender.
And how, and so you guys, when do you harvest the lavender? Is it a constantly being harvest? How does that work with the season?
So lavender is a Mediterranean plant. It's going to wake up when it's had several 80 degree days. Mm-hmm. And so right now it's the stems are up. It's waiting for some sunshine to actually bloom, but it'll bloom this week and next. We'll actually harvest probably June 12th and then that week after. And we harvest one time. And then again in August, September, we'll have a little bit more of a bloom, not as large as mm-hmm. the June bloom, but we'll have more plants shoot out some flowers. And so we harvest when the blooms are about a quarter of the way popped. So that we do that because we're actually using the plant for the mm-hmm. value added products. So we don't leave them on the stems to dry. We want to gather them, which can be disappointing to the public because we don't leave them on the
right.
plant. And so it's kind of a bummer. I really do understand that, but we're trying to use it so that we can give it to folks.
Right, right.
So
because it is more than just a come look and see farm. You guys are an actual farm that is utilizing your product in multiple yes. products.
Yes. And so what we do to combat that disappointment a little bit is to plant other native flowers. Mm-hmm. So there should be always something blooming at the farm. So you can come with your girlfriends and take pictures and just enjoy the beauty of nature.
Yeah, because you guys have several other beautiful flowers that come throughout the summer months, especially that people can wander through.
Yes, yes. So we have about 120 peonies, which bloomed last week, mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago. So they're a May bloomer. So we have about 120 of those. Then the lavender will bloom in June. Then July, August timeframe, we have sunflowers and zinnias. And then the showstopper for fall is our Mexican sage. And we have about 120 plants of Mexican sage, but it will not bloom until the temperatures are below 60 degrees at night. And then it is just this vibrant velvet purple bloom. It's so gorgeous.
Oh, wow. And people, that might be something that people aren't as familiar with. Obviously, people know sunflowers. People know peonies. That's something that people are obsessed with. But Mexican yes. sage is something that maybe they're not as familiar with.
Yes, they aren't, because it's an annual here. We grew it when we lived in California. And so it bloomed all the time in California because, you know, the sun goes down and the temperatures drop. But when I found it here, I was like, oh, I have to have this. And then when you plant 120 of those, that's very impactful. It's so beautiful.
Did you always love planting? Has it always been something that you've done? Or was this a more recent thing in the last several years?
So I have always loved flowers, always loved planting. And when my husband and I first got married, we had a garden, irises, big, huge sunflowers. We just love to be out working in the yard. In fact, we always joked we thought we would have a nursery one day, and we thought we would call it Nature's Corner. So we're just kind of just fun. And then look how it's evolved, and here we are with a lavender farm.
Yeah, I mean, when you stop and sort of stare out at the farm and think about that, what are the thoughts that go through your head when you realize what you guys as a family have been able to create?
Well, it's kind of hard to put into words, because when I step into the farm and I'm fully there, it's a little bit unbelievable that we're actually running a cafe, a gift shop, a little venue spot, that people are coming to our farm. I mean, sometimes I can't even believe it. I would joke initially when we first opened, I said, when people step off the airplane at the airport in St. Louis, I want them to go, we have to go to the St. Louis Arch and we have to go to the Lavender Farm. And they're doing it.
That's pretty
the
amazing.
Weirdest. It's so amazing. And so it's a little bit surreal to us. We just kind of look at each other and go, okay. We can't believe we're so busy, but we have been very blessed by the public.
And I imagine you mentioned, you know, people coming to take photos. I imagine that is a huge part of what brings people to this. You have this beautiful space. It's very Instagram friendly. And how much of that do you see of people coming and wanting to utilize your beautiful space for whether maybe it's their engagement photos or just those photos of those special moments in their life?
Yes, quite a bit. And now I say initially we were very protective because we are our biggest critic, Chad and I, and we're like, oh, the farm is not pretty enough for people to take pictures. And so we were just a little bit shy of allowing folks to come out. But now we have embraced it. And we're like, we are working farm folks. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes things look beautiful. And sometimes things look like we just got 3 inches of rain. And that's what that looks like. And so we embrace the imperfections of the farm. And we tell photographers, we're like, you know, you can come out anytime we're open for free from 10 to 4. Mm-hmm. Anytime I have employees here, if you want to schedule a photo session, you're free to do it. Mm-hmm. If you want like a golden hour where we have to have an employee on premise, we're closed, then it's going to be $75 an hour. And then I just ask folks to prearrange that so that they can come out. And then, you know, I always want them to be knowledgeable about what the farm really looks like. Mm-hmm. These are not the fields of Provence that you'll see in France. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I don't
Do you
want
get
people,
people
to be blindsided.
Expecting that sometimes?
Oh, yes, very much. And so, you know, you try to troubleshoot their disappointment and help them understand that, hey, you know, we give this plant humidity and it really wants an arid climate. Mm-hmm. So we're planting against the grain here with lavender. So we do encourage photographers. Yes, you're absolutely welcome to come out, but please know what you're getting before you promise a client something that we can't make good on.
What are your dreams for the future of the farm?
Oh, goodness. Well, more parking right now.
The basic things, yeah.
The basic things, more parking. Oh, you know, we have 4 kids, and they have grown up on this farm, sometimes begrudgingly. And I would love to see, you know, maybe one kid would like to take it over. Now, no one has to, there's no pressure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe Chad and I have built a foundation that they could support their family on.
Right.
So that seems fun and exciting. To me, the whole space lends itself to a couple of Airbnbs. You know, if you're thinking like an entrepreneur, that's kind of my next step of what could we do? This looks like a destination place where people can spend the night.
Right.
And we're right next to Innsbruck Resort. So there's always overflow of people needing a place to stay. So that's the most natural progression, I think, that would be next.
And, you know, for people who are coming out to visit the Lavender Farm, but maybe they haven't been to that part of our area before, what else do they need to make sure that they're stopping at along the way as they make their way out to your beautiful farm?
Sure. Well, you know, this area has quite a bit of agritourism, which is nice to capitalize on. Mm-hmm. So if you have young children and you're coming out, you've got to go to Big Joel Safari. Maybe 4 miles down the road, just east of us. Then if you're coming out without children, you should always go to Cedar Lake Cellars, the winery. Again, maybe 3-4 miles away. So if you're coming at Christmas, which I know the lavender has been put to bed, but the barn is gorgeous at Christmas, you should go by there's like a local tree farm where you can cut down a fresh Christmas tree. So there's a lot going on. Oh, and besides the fact there's pumpkins galore that's in the neighboring town. So a lot happening. Wineries, we're very close to Augusta. A lot of folks will just make a little day trip. They'll come to me first. They'll have a cinnamon roll and some coffee. They'll walk the field. Then they'll head on down to the wineries.
It sounds like a perfect day.
It really does sound like a perfect day, doesn't it?
And, you know, again, this all came from just this little desire to grow your family farm, to get your kids outside, which I think is just such a special concept. And something that so many of our local family businesses start with is just that little idea.
Yes. And I mean, isn't that crazy how this idea has just gone from we want our people outside to, oh my goodness, now we have people who want to come here to see the farm. It's really been a blessing. And when you sit and you talk about the beginning to the end, it's like, oh, wow, it has really grown even in the midst of us being involved. It's just been so good.
And it sounds like it's just going to keep on growing for you guys.
We hope so. We really hope that this is a place where folks say, we have to go every year. Oh, wait a minute. We need to go multiple times a year, and let's bring mom, or let's bring my best friend, or let's bring a bridal party. This is a place to celebrate where you can, when you walk in, honestly, we want you guys to feel just like to take a little sigh of relief, just a good exhale of, okay, I'm going to enjoy myself here. And that's how we want folks to feel.
Longroll Lavender is open Wednesday through Saturday. You can head to their website for directions and more details about what you'll find there on the farm. We have some really good episodes coming up here on the Meet St. Louis podcast. Next week, a long-requested interview with Katie Collier of Katie's Pizza and Pasta. Plus, after that, we're chatting with a frozen custard institution. So make sure you are subscribed to the Meet St. Louis podcast so you can get an alert when a new episode drops. And while you're there subscribing, feel free to leave us a review and give us some stars. It helps others discover the podcast and discover the best our city has to offer. This episode was produced and edited by JJ Bailey.